Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier. It's good to be with you this morning. It is the 14th day of March 2019 in the Gregorian calendar. I've got a lot of information to share with you today. Again, this is going to be connecting some of the dots, and we are going to speak today about prophetic things. And we are going to loose, I believe the Holy Spirit has granted a loosening of the prophetic mantle to speak into what it is that is going on today, what time it is, where we are, and the things that we should be praying about and expecting to come down the pike. And I want to begin the broadcast today. I've got these little tidbits, first of all, that I want to just throw out there, but I always want to make sure that our listeners that are tuned in have plenty of time to get situated, settled down, you know, not yelling at the kids or getting the kids off to the school bus or whatever. So I want to just good morning, everybody. And let me just begin this way. And maybe this is the best thing to do when starting a broadcast like this. We intend, by the grace of God, to be broadcasting until the very end, until there's no room left. We are working while it's day, and we know that the nighttime is coming, and we must work while there's light. So when the nighttime comes, when there's no longer an ability to broadcast what we see around us, to do what we do, well, we will be done. But until that time, while there's light, we are going to continue to broadcast. And what I wanted to bring to the attention of some of our listeners before we get into the deep things of God this morning is I want you to know that you're listening to Omega Radio, or if you're not, if you're on Blog Talk Radio, this is what we do. We have built a 24-hour a day, 7 days a week. It is not stopping. It's now it's non-stopping, ongoing, 24/7. OmegaRadio.org. This OmegaRadio.org is broadcasting around the world. Wherever there is a computer, a smartphone, an iPad, an iPod, whatever people have today, this OmegaRadio.org is going out. We have about 700 followers on Facebook, many of them from Africa, from India, and from South America. We have a lot of people that are getting into the Omega Radio. They're finding it one way or the other. Now, these are people that we see them on our Facebook page, and so it's all interconnected with the the internet. So through Omega Radio, how does it work? Well, Omega Radio 24/7 works because of the purchasing of Sam Broadcaster, a computer that can handle it, microphones, headphones, and all the different phones that are connected to doing what we're doing right now. And we have a website. And if you haven't visited that website, you need to do it. It is omegaradio.org. Now, omegaradio.org is a website that allows and enables this broadcast to go forward. And what we do is we spend $150 per month on that website, on the Omega Radio website. That's where our finances go, $150 a month to MoPro, which is the builder of that website. Then, those of you that call in on Blog Talk Radio, and you're listening by your phone, you have the 818-369-0326 number, or you're just listening to blogtalkradio.com/X-Man777 on your computer or device. I can give those addresses again if anybody's interested. But Blog Talk Radio website, to have the phone calls coming in, is $99 a month. So we have a $99 a month charge. So we're right at $250 a month. And then the cable that we pay every month to make sure that this computer has high-speed internet in order to broadcast out. It's not about download. It's about upload, because we're broadcasting out. And that is $100 per month as well. And that is a Cox cable. So we're now at $350 per month. Just the beginning of this. Then we have another website, NWM Global, and this is also connected to this ministry on the internet, NWM Global, which is our church website, New Wine Ministry. It's NWMGlobal.org, and there we're spending, I believe it's about $50 a month. I'm not sure what that is. That's kind of a hidden cost. So it puts us right about $400 a month. And then there are other things that go alongside the electricity and different things like that. So we're spending about $400 and something a month for this internet radio station, which is not bad. I mean, that's okay. We also broadcast on AM FM radio, as you know, and we spend approximately $1,150 a month on AM FM radio on KERM radio for 2 days a week, Wednesday and Sunday. So we have a large cost there. And we also, for the rent of our little church building, are spending $850 a month. And so as you could see, just to do the ministry, the labor, it costs a little bit of money. So on this radio broadcast, the only thing I would ask for is that the people that do listen to Omega Radio or Blog Talk Radio, that perhaps you would consider supporting us on a monthly basis to make sure that we can get this $400 a month payment made. And then Patricia Joy Xavier, my beloved wife, is going to be joining me on this radio broadcast most of the time. We've kind of just felt the Holy Spirit said that the two of us are better than one. And so she has an incredible ministry that needs to be heard, and we complement each other. And so what we need to accommodate that integration is a new microphone, a headphone, and then we went to the Music Works place and we need a splitter. And we're not going extravagant, we're going with the least, and we're getting a microphone, cost $100. The splitter is $75. The headsets are about $75 as well. So we're up around with taxes and then some other little things they wanted to put, like the foam on the microphone, about $300. So we need a $300 blessing to get Patricia up and ready to go. We'd love to have that by next week, by Monday, to have her with her own microphone, her own headsets, and then we could be broadcasting together without having to pass the microphone to one another. So I just thought that was a good time. I don't know if you're just joining the broadcast today. I have a lot of information to share with you. It's a time to connect the dots. It's a prophetic moment. And if you would be willing to support this radio ministry, I know that everybody else out there in the world that does this work would be asking the same thing. We try not too much, but this is the real deal, about $400 a month. So if our listeners would be willing to support that. The way to do it is to simply go to omegaradio.org, and there is a donate tab or where you could give through PayPal. Now, there are a couple of people, dear friends out there, that have been supporting this ministry for a long, long time. And I will not use their names, but I want them to know that their gifts are appreciated every month. They've been giving every month. And I thank God for them. But there's only about three people that are doing that at the moment. So we have three people supporting the radio ministry. And we also, beyond that monthly, every once in a while, like for new microphone, new headsets, to bring in the value of a Patricia Joy Xavier, need that extra blessing. So please pray about it. Consider it. No pressure here. God is faithful. He always brings us through, and that's a good thing. But we want to do our best to get the information out to you in a very, very positive way. Now, having said that, I need to tell you what happened. And again, if you are wanting to support, if you want to give to that microphone, just either text me, let me know, go online, do the PayPal thing. It's not that difficult. And we'll thank God for you. Okay. And last night, I was at a Bible study. Wednesdays are always our most busy days because we do Omega Radio in the morning, then we do Kerm Radio, and then we have our Bible studies at night. And so Wednesdays are pretty busy. And we had a wonderful time last night. We went through the reasons why we believe we are living in the last days. And we spent a quality hour plus in getting the Word of God and definition out into the open as to why we believe we are living in the last days. And man, was there a crescendo of unity, and we were all on the same page, and it was very powerful. And then we had some other discussions. At the end of the Bible study last night, a dear brother came up to me, and he put this piece of paper in front of my face, and he said, "Here, you need to read this. You need to read this." And so I sat there and I looked through it, and he was pointing at different things. And I'm going to share it with you, and I'm going to show you how miraculous God is, okay? And you know how big God is. And let me just tell you how amazing God is here on this broadcast this morning. So he gave me a piece of paper called the 2020 Report. And this is his own writings, because what he does is he compiles prophecies, dreams, visions, words of knowledge from around the world. And one of the reports that he was sharing was on a pastor and prophet by the name of Sadhu Sundar Salvaraj. And everybody has probably heard of Sadhu Sundar Salvaraj. And so he put this in front of me. Let me read it to you. It says here, the 2020 report, on August 12th of this year, and it's going back to 2018, okay, at an international conference at Shekinah Worship Center in Lancaster, California, pastor and prophet Sadhu Sundar Salvaraj gave the following word from the Lord. Sometime after the year 2020, he said, two things will happen. Number one, a worldwide cashless society will begin. Number two, this will then be followed by the mark of the beast. So, about 2 years from now, I'm still reading, sometime in 2020, some countries of the world will go cashless. And from what I understand, I'm interjecting right now, what I understand is that China will be the first cashless society on the planet. They are moving headlong in that direction. And then it goes on to say that not too long after that, probably in 2021, notice probably, the remaining countries of the world will go cashless. The whole world will then be cashless. In a very short period of time after this, the mark of the beast will go into effect, and who the truly is will be revealed. That means that sometime after 2020, the Great Tribulation will begin. That also means that time as we know it will end 3.5 years after the cashless society and the mark of the beast get underway together. By the way, and I'm still reading, All of this means that we are currently in the period that precedes the Great Tribulation. We're in the first half of the tribulation. That is, we're in the first 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation. The first half of the tribulation is also known as the time of sorrows. For those who have never heard of Brother Sadhu, he was born in India and raised as a Hindu. He was born again at the age of 16, and when he turned 17, he was called by the Lord into the ministry, which in a relatively short period of time became worldwide. Since 1979, he has preached, taught, and prophesied in more than 50 nations. I'm continuing to read. Brother Sadhu spends much time fasting, praying, and waiting on God, and has been doing this since the very early days of his ministry, sometimes 10, 20, 30 days or more in prayer, receiving many instructions, teachings, revelations, and prophecies from Almighty God. It was in one of these times of waiting on the Lord that Brother Sadhu received this revelation of the cashless society and the mark of the beast. It is not unusual for him to get words from the Lord. It has happened to him many times in the past, strong, in-depth, sometimes startling revelations from God. For example, in August 2016, almost 3 months before the election, when most of the major polls had Hillary Clinton winning by a large majority, Brother Sadhu predicted that Donald Trump would win the election and be our next president. Also, on July 27th of 2015, Brother Sadhu prophesied in Houston, Texas, that Houston would be hit with massive flooding. The flood occurred in August of 2017 when Hurricane Harvey struck the area. Brother Sadhu predicted this would happen by the word of the Lord over 2 years before the event actually happened. And this one, about 2020, is the most recent one, but certainly won't be the last revelation that Brother Sadhu receives from the Lord. That's the end of the writing. So this brother puts this in my hands last night after our Bible study, and I slide it into my Bible. Honest to God, that's all I did. I slid it into my Bible. There's people mulling around everywhere. We're getting ready to leave. I close up my Bible. I've got my notes from the Bible study, and I wake up this morning, and I read this report to Patricia. I said, oh, look what Brother so-and-so gave me last night to look at. Isn't that interesting? Well, when I opened up my Bible to where I had slid this, and now I'm just reading it and I'm ready to put it back in, I open up to a page that I have markings all over, and twice, and Patricia can confirm this, twice the word economy is written. And I want to read this with you, and I want to show you the profoundness of this. This is in Hosea chapter 8. And I'm going to begin in verse 1, and I have it all underlined, and three times or twice here I have economy. And then I have some other markings I'll tell you about. Here's what it says, Hosea 8. Set the trumpet to your mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Israel, and then I have underlined, America shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. Israel, and then again, America hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. And then right next to that, I have written in here the word economy. Economy under the silver and the gold, and then right next to cut off the economy. And then in verse 5, thy calf or idol, I wrote down, O Samaria has cast thee off. My anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? In other words, I wrote next to that, slow repentance. For from Israel, America was it also, the workman made it, therefore it is not God. But the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. And right next to that, I have the word economy. The calf, the economy of America, shall be broken in pieces. For they have sown the wind, they shall reap the whirlwind. It has no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the strangers shall swallow it up. And that's basically what is it. And I thought it was so unusual that this report about a financial collapse was given to us, and I happen to put it, slide it into a page where it's talking about a broken economy, and I think that may be somewhat of a witness to us. Now, a couple of tidbits that I want to share with you along the way right now is how many of you have heard, I shared this with our church last week. I did a video and I told you about it earlier this week, where there is what is known the 220 years missing out of the Hebrew calendar. If you'll search it out, you'll type in or you'll just go search it out a little bit. There's one that I highly recommend. It's got a big gold screen on it with a big clock, and it's called the 220 missing years. And there's some evidence there that the possibility that 220 years has been extracted from the Hebrew calendar today. Now, we're living, and I believe in the Torah here, not in the rabbinical calendar. I believe in the Torah calendar of God when he said the first day of the first month of a new year would be in spring. Okay, not the civil calendar of the rabbis. Rabbis have been wrong before. They actually killed Jesus. But when you look at the Torah, the first day of the first month is the first day of Abib, or Nisan is what we call it, which is going to be April 6th. April 6th will be the beginning of the new year. And what is that new year? It's 5779. Genuinely, in the Hebrew economy of God, we're still in the year 5778. But when April 6th comes around, we'll be in the year 5779. Now, if you add the 220 years to 5779, what do you come up with? On April 6th, 5779 and 200 is 5979. But if you add the 2 years, it's 5999. Now, watch this. That means on April 6th, 99 in the Hebrew calendar, which is 1 year short of the year 6000 or 6000 years completed. Now, what is interesting, there in the Hebrew Bible, and we'll search this out even more as we go, there is no more Hebrew Bible after the year 2020. Now, 2020 will be the year 6000. Now, in April, on April 6th, it's going to be 5999 with the 220 years, and then next year in the first day of the first month of spring will be the year 6000, or the year it'll be on our calendar 2020 at that point. Now, according to this prophecy, it's talking about the beginning of a great tribulation period of time, the 3.5 years that is coming. I happen to concur, by the way. I want you to know that I concur with these things. And so we're moving in this direction. Now, if God is foretelling us about a financial collapse or a cashless society and the mark of the beast, which I happen to believe are very real, I don't think anybody really yet understands the full weight of what that means. Well, I do believe it's a wake-up call to each one of us. Now, Patricia, good morning. How are you doing today?
I am doing absolutely beautifully this morning. God is good. He's opening up divine wisdom to our life and to help others understand what he is doing in the earth today. I just am very excited.
Patricia, speak into what you were sharing last night about what's going on in India and people that are actually receiving a mark and some of the weather pattern issues. Just for a moment, speak into that.
Well, I have to first explain cashless society is, because that's what you mentioned, and that's what we're going into, and India has already started procedure. So let me describe what it is. A cashless society is an economic state whereby financial transactions, like you when you go to the bank, are not conducted with money in the form of physical banknotes or coins, but rather through the transfer of digital information only, usually an electronic representation of money, which you do quite often already through your computer. And then that is between the transacting parties. Cashless societies have existed, believe it or not, from the time when human society came into existence. And it was based on bartering, you know, how bartering, I give you something you need, you give me something I need, and other methods of exchange. And cashless transactions have also become possible in modern times. And how? by using digital currencies such as Bitcoins. I don't know if you've ever heard of a Bitcoin, but others I know have and have been using that digital currency. But this article that I'm telling you about right now discusses and focuses on the term cashless society in the sense of a move towards and an implication of a society where cash is replaced by its digital equivalent. In other words, legal tender, you know, the dollar bill, the $20 bill, the $100 bill, the $50 bill, money exists, is recorded, and is exchanged only in electronic digital form. My goodness, anything can happen under those circumstances.
Well, that's a great introduction to this conversation, because even yesterday, Ron Perry joined me on the air on Kerm Radio, and he mentioned about the coming cashless society as well, or the economic collapse in the United States. But listen to this very quick and brief article coming out of Forbes, and everybody has heard of Forbes magazine. Well, they have an article there saying India is likely to become the first digital cashless society. So the top news out of India over the past 12 months has been Prime Minister Modi's move, and that's the prime minister there, his name is Modi, or M-O-D-I, his move to ban 85% of the currency in circulation. However, something much more far-reaching has happened. It's called India Stack. Remember that, India Stack. Now, the foundations of a new financial system, before 2009, listen to this, before 2009, half of all Indians didn't have any form of identification, not even a birth certificate. Without a form of identification, citizens couldn't access services like banking, insurance, or even get a driver's license. As such, many opportunities like starting a business were not available to them. Then in 2009, India launched Aadhaar, and that's A-A-D-H-A-A-R, Aadhaar. Aadhaar is a biometric database based on a 12-digit digital identity authenticated by fingerprints and retina scans. It became the largest and most successful IT project ever. As of 2016, 1.1 billion people, or 95% of the population, had a digital proof of identity. But Aadhaar was just the beginning. Wow. I'm going to let it sit there for a minute, Patricia, but this is not some sci-fi movie. This is not some, you know, wild dream. This is India, where 95% of their population now has a digital mark to identify them. China is moving fast in that direction as well. And obviously, when we talk about prophetic things, ladies and gentlemen, we basically know that the global new world, one world government that the Bible talks about is going to have to eliminate anything that restrains its movement to becoming exactly that, a one world economy, a one world government, a digital mark, et cetera, et cetera. And so what we're hearing by the prophets and by the Spirit of God is that this time is rapidly coming upon us, even though we've been hearing about it for years and years. Patricia.
And there are situations in India right now that we all need to pray about. There is a small amount of Christians that live in India, probably about 1%. I'm not positive, I could look that up. However, they understand that this would become the mark of the beast, and they're very concerned as to taking on that digital number upon themselves, being registered in that manner, in that way, where they can walk by and just get the number going through as they buy anything they have from their hand. That is going to be recorded immediately. Well, that's the way the mark of the beast, it appears, will be at work. So they are concerned. They desire very much to stay away from it. They're crying out to their government that this is dangerous, but the government there doesn't want to get involved with anything religious. So they say, pray for your friends in India. Pray for the Christian body in India that God may show them a way through protection. Now, I know that many movies were made about this very thing, and they go in hiding and all that sort of thing. But God has his way, and we want God's way and his way alone.
Well, Patricia, right after this radio broadcast in about 30 minutes, you have a roundtable discussion where you're talking about prospering in the time of famine. Prospering in the time of famine. That's an 80-minute program that's going to be following this radio broadcast. And what I would like to do right now, it's 9:30, and I would like to open the telephone lines. If you're out there today and you want to join us in the conversation, the number to call is 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326. You can listen on that telephone number. And if you would like to call into the broadcast and you'd like to share some information or thoughts about things that we're talking about or something special on your heart, just press 1 on your dial pad when you get into the broadcast. Again, that number to call is 818-369-0326. Now, we are, I'd like to just read a little bit more out of this article about Modi, and he's the prime minister over in India. Modi's move to demonetize the country was viewed as an isolated event. However, it was the action that forced everyone into the new digital system. Since Aadhaar was launched, 270 million bank accounts have been opened in India. A 2015 report from MasterCard found that India was one of the countries least ready to transition to a digital payment system. Yet 12 months later, such a system was rolled out. If the transition to a digital society can happen in India, where just 2% of transactions were non-cash a few years ago, it can happen anywhere. India Stack could fast-track the move to digital payment systems across the developed world and mark the end of cash. For astute investors, there are also huge investment opportunities in this revolution. Can you believe that? There's already, you know, in the midst of every crisis, there's an opportunity to succeed. Isn't that true? And so it's always that way, whether it's a hurricane, a tornado, somebody selling a T-shirt, making money off the deal. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not so sure that the Christians are going to be, marking this. Now, I want to share something that I felt very strong in my spirit today, and I started writing it, and I couldn't even begin to finish it. It was so intense. But here's what I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying. Our generation, that's you and I, our generation has been created for more than miracles, more than money, more than healings, more than all this. Oh, so much more. This generation has been created to receive the coming King. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I are going to have a shift in our thinking to understand that Jesus said, today and tomorrow I do cures and miracles and healings, but on the third day I shall be perfected. And we are living in the third day of the Lord, and the Lord is coming. We're coming to the year 2020, the year 6000, the ending of the Hebrew calendar, and here's a mystery, all right? Here's what everybody's thinking, because 2024. Anyways, here's what we're thinking. When Israel came out of Egypt and they were going to go into the wilderness, what was the final phase of their transition? How did the Israelites transition out of Egypt into the wilderness? Well, those of you that are answering the question were in agreement. They had to go through the Red Sea, right? That God made a way where there seemed to be no way. They had to go through the Red Sea. They transitioned out of Egypt into the wilderness. 40 years later, when that generation was ready to pass out of the wilderness into the promised land, what was the final transition? They had to transition after 40 years, a completed time frame, into a new paradigm. They had to go through the Jordan River. And again, they miraculously went through or crossed through or finalized the transition. And what God is revealing, the times we are in right now, is the Great Tribulation is our Jordan River. The Great Tribulation is the Red Sea. It is the it is the final transition out of six millennial days, transitioning into the seventh millennial day, which follows the Great Tribulation. And so we need to understand that we're moving into the time of transition, the birthing canal, the labor pains, the baby's going to come forth. And ladies and gentlemen, we are right there, and we need to prepare ourselves and get every saint of God ready for this transition that's about to happen. Because once that cashless society comes, and once that mark of the beast comes, ladies and gentlemen, that's a deal sealer right there. And you know, and I know, Revelation 14, I'm going to give Patricia opportunity to speak, but I want to share a scripture with you about the dangers of receiving the mark of the beast. And God is going to make it plain to us what it is very soon. Patricia.
Okay. We're getting to some various ideas and concepts regarding the Great Tribulation, and it will bring the greatest time of trouble ever to come upon mankind. Never previously, never before has it been or will it be as great of a problem, trouble, as it will in this Great Tribulation, according to the Word of God and the prophecy that has been spoken in the Bible. And it will occur during the last days or the end time. You can see that in 2 Timothy 3:1 and Daniel 12:4 also talks about it. And it will be a tribulation such has not occurred from the beginning of creation that God created until that time. And that's the time we're in right now, and will not occur again. In other words, as we go through this destruction, and I believe we will, be in the wilderness, the church in the wilderness, and that's for another time to discuss. But when we go through, and we will come out on the other side, we will come right into the millennium, where we who have endured to the end will rule and reign. We who have been the bride of Christ and have taken out the wrinkles and spots, prepared ourselves and got ourselves ready for such a time as this, will be literally represented with Jesus Christ, seated with him, ruling with him. So we are now at that open door. And so we need to consider, what will we do? An attack on true religion, I mean the true Word of God, the faith of God, will be attacked. And there'll be a coalition of nations. And Ezekiel refers to that. It is Gog of the land of Magog.
Wow, incredible information, and we are now going to shift, okay? It's 9:37, and this is where I wanted to get into some prophetic thoughts, and we're going to shift now, and take note. I would encourage everybody to take note, and before I share what I believe is prophetic from the throne of heaven, we're gonna put this out there, and we're going to pray about it, but I just want to preface some things. To our audience, if you don't know who this ministry is, we are for real. We are not making things up. We are not just being dramatic or theatrical. That is not who we are. That is not what we do. I want you to know that back before you heard about Sadhu Sandoval here, the Indian prophet who predicted a couple of months before Trump became president. Well, way back in 2008, I was praying in the Holy Spirit, and I was praying in tongues on a Friday afternoon. I've shared this story several times, and I want you to get the dates on these. It was way back in the, before it was about, I thought it was about 15 or 17 months prior to the election period in 2008. And so I'm praying in the Holy Spirit. And as I'm praying, this word Bama came into my spirit. I'm going to be very brief with this. I just need to show you this. The word Bama came up. I was so taken by it. I went to my Bible. I opened up my concordance. Sure enough, the word Bama was there, and it means high place of idolatry. And I thought, wow, is something going to go on with Alabama? What's going on, Lord? Why are you showing me high place of idolatry? What is this Obama word? And 7 days later, watching Fox News, a gentleman by the name of Barack Hussein Obama made his bid for the candidacy of president of the United States. And as I was watching, I turned when I heard his name and I said, Barack Obama. And the Holy Spirit said, he is going to the high place. He is going to Washington, D.C. He's going to be your next president. Well, I began to tell all my friends. They laughed at me. They said, that's never going to happen. That's never going to happen. Well, sure enough, Barack Hussein Obama became the president of the United States of America. And I asked the Lord, why did you show me that? You know, what was the point of that? And God gave me some explanation about things, but I want you to know 7 years before that, on September 3rd, 2001, I was speaking at a conference in Kremlin, Colorado. My brother Michael was there. My brother Paul was there. The three of us were traveling together from San Diego. We drove out to Kremlin, Colorado. We spoke at this conference, Denver, to meet our brother John, who worked as a mechanic on the multi-million dollar flight simulators. This is a true story. Plenty of witnesses to confirm it. And so he worked the graveyard shift. And so Michael, Paul, and I went to the airport, the Denver airport, met with John, who works on the multi-million dollar flight simulators, and we were invited into a simulator to fly. And Michael, being Filipino Hawaiian, he flew out of Hawaii. Paul was from the Bay Area. He flew from there. And around 3 o'clock in the morning, it was my turn to fly, and I'm from New Jersey, so I decided I'd fly my airplane out of Newark. And I would fly over Jersey City, over the Hudson, into Central Park area of New York. And I did, and I'm flying this thing. And they're so real, it's unbelievable. And I started heading south. And for some reason, I saw the Twin Towers, and I just got giddy. I got bored, and I took my airplane on September 3rd, 2001, and I flew it into the Twin Towers. Well, 8 days later, actual airplanes were flown into the Twin Towers. And of course, my reaction was weeping and crying out to God, why did you show me that? Why? What is that? And he said, I'm talking all the time, but very few are listening. Well, from that time in 2001, I began to write prophetically thousands of pages, and I would write pages of prophecy. And I was younger in those days, so I'm sure some flesh got in there along the way. But I had this writing ministry, which had been prophesied over me by my pastor before he died. And so I was obedient. I wrote and wrote and wrote, and I was writing things that were happening within days, and in some cases within weeks. And so I wrote about the eastern seaboard of the United States and the judgments that would come, that governors would be looking out over their balconies at their destroyed cities on the southeast border of the United States. And things were just coming to pass left and right. And then the Obama thing came by praying and prayer. 7 years later, he is now the president of the United States. And so I continued. But then it was in 2009. And here's where I just want to get moving into what I'm about to say to you. In 2009, I came under a very powerful impression. There's no other way to say it. I didn't get it from anybody. I didn't get it from man. I came under a very powerful impression in my spirit that there was going to be a nuclear strike against Washington, D.C. I believed it so much that I was visited by the FBI because I put it out on radio. I put it everywhere I went. I was extremely concerned in 2009 about this nuclear strike against Washington, D.C. In fact, I had narrowed this down through my prayer and study time that it was going to happen in October of 2009, right around the 10th day or the 11th day, that on October 10th or 11th, 2009, this was going to happen between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. That's the truth of God. That's exactly what I came up with. Between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m., a nuclear strike would take place on October 10th or 11th. Now, I put the date 2009 in there, and so this prediction went forth. Well, of course, October 2009 came and went. However, six times, Homeland Security put out a History Channel two-hour documentary about a nuclear bomb going off in Washington, D.C. at 9:30 a.m. So I was picking something up, and I have suffered for that particular prediction because it was so close, but I picked something up the exact hour in the month of October. They were showing this six times on the History Channel called The Day After Disaster, and 20 times per program, they're showing a nuclear strike going off in D.C. And that's where I learned a lot of stuff. Well, we're now coming to the 10-year anniversary. And the other day, when I was looking at Zephaniah, they were talking about how amazing it would be to predict an event of the destruction of New York or Moscow or Tokyo 10 years before. And now, last night, I asked our congregation a question before we left, because I have had a swirling in my spirit for months now. And the swirling, if you've been listening to this radio broadcast, in my belly has been that something is about to happen that is going to hurt. And the hurt that I'm kind of likening it to is back in 1960s when JFK, the president of the United States, was assassinated. I think at that time, a lot of people within the nation hurt. They were wounded, right? So I asked our congregation last night, I said, listen, I've got this thing going on inside of me. I believe there's an event at the door that's ready to happen, that it's going to hurt this country. I said, but what kind of an event would take place that would hurt the nation? I think if President Donald J. Trump were a sap, but other people would rejoice. You know, the hate Trumpers would rejoice. And so I asked the congregation, I got a few answers, and then from Prophet Michael, right out of the mouth of Prophet Michael, he's got a mantle on him, he said, it's what you said many years ago. It's going to be Washington, D.C., because in Washington, D.C., both the left and the right have their heroes up there. And for Washington, D.C. to get struck is what you're talking about that's going to hurt the nation. And I immediately bore witness, and I remember 10 years ago saying a great strike against the heart of the United States. And then when I was talking about the great strike against the heart, that was a heart attack. And then when the heart is attacked, all the other systems of that body or society will shut down. And so, and here it is 10 years later. And Zephaniah talked about predicting something 10 years before it happens. Now, Washington, D.C., can you imagine, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, tomorrow morning, turning on the news and seeing that a nuclear bomb has totally taken out the leadership of the United States of America in Washington, D.C.? Well, I think that our nation would be wounded. Some people say everybody would rejoice. I don't think so. I think if we woke up tomorrow morning with a news report that Washington, D.C. has been decapitated, I mean taken out, what would happen in this country? What would happen in the United States of America? Would it become panic? Would there become war, civil war, revolution? There's no leadership anymore. Martial law comes in. What happens? The United Nations armies comes to subdue everything. The globalists have now gained the advantage. There's no more sovereignty, independent United States of America. Nationalism is gone. Now comes the absolving of the nation into the global order of things, the issuing of the mark, the cashless society. Ladies and gentlemen, I guess what I'm saying is that we're so close at the door that we need to be prepared. Patricia, your thoughts.
Preparation is so absolutely necessary, and we know that. This is why we are on Omega Radio. This is all the more urgent time than ever, for you know how late it is. Time is running out, folks. Wake up, for your salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. We're almost there. The day of salvation will soon be here, and that means the completion of our walk. So remove your dark deeds. You know what they are. They're like dirty cloths. That's why the bride of Christ has a beautiful white garment on, without spot or wrinkle, on the shining armor of right living. That will be your garment. It will be right living. It will be your armor, because we belong to the day. We must live decent lives for everyone to see, and that includes your family members. They must see you in that manner, not in anger, not in frustration. Don't participate in the darkness of all these wild parties and want to be part of that, thinking it's interesting, or drunkenness or sexual promiscuity and immoral living, or quarreling and jealousy, which a lot of Christians do. Maybe they don't do the rest. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Take them out of your mind by rebuking them.
Amen. And there was a prophetic word last night that God was sending a wind to deal with the dead leaves of those dead thoughts. That is very, very true. We have a call coming in. Right before I take that call, remember that the Israelis, right before they left Egypt to go into the wilderness, kind of like what the Bible says in the last days, that there's a people going into the wilderness, they had a transfer of wealth that was given to them. And if there's going to be a transfer of wealth into the hands of the body of Christ to be able to get more prepared to go into that wilderness for 3.5 years, which the Bible says the woman is there for 3.5 years, it's very absolute. We need to be praying for that transfer of wealth to come now, to get everything prepared for the times that we go out, for those of us that will be alive and remaining. Let's take our first call this morning, coming in from area code 605. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. Yes, as you were speaking, Zephaniah, in the book of Zephaniah, third chapter, 16th and 17th verse, it says, "In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing." And many years ago we had the opportunity to be with this man by the name of Henry Groover, and he wrote a book concerning the end time and the rebirth of Judah. And his last statement then in this book that he wrote was this, and if I have a few minutes, I could read this, just this little part. Is that okay?
Sure, sure.
And it's to the church of God's people. And it says, "Arise, church, unto the glory of the Lord. O beloved church, bride of Christ, learn now to turn your ears toward heaven, hearing the beauty of our beloved bridegroom, the Lion of Judah, singing over us. Then there will be hallelujahs all across the land. All the people will be singing at the Lord's command. There will be a cry from our innermost beings to come out of our carnality that only has eyes for the world, the carnal, and to work from the light of heaven so that the harvest can come in." So now my question is this. When Zephaniah 3:16 to 17 is being fulfilled, when this destruction comes also, will the harvest be coming in at the same time?
If this is I. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
The harvest will be coming in at the same time. There will be a parallel. And right now, that door is wide open for multitudes who will hear. There is so many different ways that the kingdom of God could be spoken of through what we're doing on Omega Radio, through television and all the Christian programs, to all the churches on the corner that have their signs up as to what they're going to be ministering that weekend, to the radio programs that are on, and radio programs. So the opportunity, is there. However, it may have to get much worse than it is to get the attention of the multitudes. That's why, as it becomes more evil, and greater in darkness, it's also going to become greater in light for those who are willing to do what is absolutely right. And so this time that we have is a very short period of time to bring as many as possible before all things shut down.
All right, Patricia Joy, great questions. Kathy, appreciate those readings, those sentiments that you're sharing right now. It's late in the hour, and I concur with the scripture that you mentioned, that there, God is going to take care of his people. He is going to take care of what belongs to him, and there is no doubt in my mind to that particular reality at all. And so we are going to rely, and we are going to depend, and we are going to trust the Lord completely. And that's what we have been doing for 26 years in full-time ministry. That's what you all have been doing. And I just would like to know right now, I've got a few minutes left, what is your response to what you heard? I need to know, what was your inner thought? Was there doubt? Was there fear? Was there, come on, let's go? What are you thinking about this? Do you bear witness? I need to know that the people that are tuning into the broadcast, that we have some kind of, is there some instruction that I may be missing, or something that you would caution? We are wide open to listening to the body of Christ. The number to call, 818-369-0326. And again, press 1 on your dial pad, and I'll bring you right into the broadcast as you go. Now, as we began the broadcast today, we were speaking about the need of a new microphone, and for Patricia, and a headset and a splitter, and there's about a $300 cost for that. And if you would be willing to support this ministry with that, there's the way to do it is simply go to the omegaradio.org and support the radio broadcast that way. That would be awesome. Let's see what we have here. We've got our sister Sue gave me a text, and I don't mind reading texts at all on the air. Let's see. Interestingly enough, a listener is saying right now, interestingly enough, this morning show of Dr. Jeremiah was about end time signs. He didn't have the same as you. He started with the cashless society. Wow, Dr. Jeremiah is talking about a cashless society as well. Folks, it's real. It's real. And as Christians, we cannot afford to ignore what God has revealed to us. When Peter was writing, he said the people that were saying, oh, we've always heard this before, he said, listen, they were willingly ignorant. In other words, they willingly ignored some of the facts. As Christians, we cannot ignore that India is becoming digitized. Let's take one more call coming in here this morning, area code 479-855-4156. You're on the air.
My reaction to this message is, for me, it just speaks to me that to be prepared physically and spiritually, and that means Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are deep in the roots you have, are deep in those, and that Jesus Christ is your Savior, and that, and when you have that, you don't have the fear. You know that he's going to take care of you regardless of what happens.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Great, great, great. We fear nothing, and we praise God. Now, unfortunately, I want to thank you for that call and for sharing your heart on that. I appreciate that very much. Patricia has a final word. We're going to have to go. And then, of course, she's got her roundtable discussion on the Omega Radio Network. So, Patricia, you've got 9 seconds.
Thank you very much, and God bless each and every one of you who have been listening. I just wanted to close, if I may, with Isaiah 45 for us. And why have I called you for this work? Why did I call you by name when you did not know me? See, you've already been chosen, body of Christ. It is for the sake of Jacob, my servant, Israel, my chosen one. I am the Lord. There is no other God. I have equipped you for battle, though you don't even know me. So all the world from east to west, from the east of the world to the west of the world will know there is no other God. I am the Lord and there is no other. I create the light and make the darkness. I send good times and bad times. I, the Lord, am the one who does these things.
Excellent. Way to go. We're going to carry on this conversation tomorrow. We have to say goodbye on Blog Talk Radio. And if you are available, go over to omegaradio.org. Patricia Joy Xavier is leading a roundtable discussion and it is on prospering during the time of famine. God bless you, everybody. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate your time. And we'll see you tomorrow. We'll pick it up then. Shalom. Here is Patricia Joy on the Omega Radio Network.